Check, check, testing. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. I'm going to turn this down here a little bit. There. Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of October 22nd, 2023. It's entitled Life's Deadly Follies, Pride. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 to 20 is one of the passages we will be looking at today. The call to worship is from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that invitation. We are looking at the book of Proverbs to learn how to live above life's deadly follies or deadly sins. These are sins of the mind and attitude. Although we may try to hide them, they influence our choices, impact our relationships, and unless abandoned, will sever our walk with God. Today, we are looking at pride. How do you define pride? There is a positive element to pride as well as the negative. The Lexham Theological Word Book says, while pride can have a positive connotation of self-worth or boasting, it is often used in Scripture to refer to an unhealthy, elevated view of oneself, abilities, or possessions. So pride can be positive. We want to have a healthy self-image and teach this to our children. Accomplishing something new and difficult is worth celebrating and encourages us to keep trying and learning. You can do it. However, there is a dark side of pride where our sinful nature takes over control and evil is the result. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4 says, evil people are proud and arrogant, but sin is the only crop they produce. This is the sinful pride which God opposes. Proverbs 16, 5, God detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. The reason for this is the impact of arrogant pride on others and the consequence of sinful pride on the proud. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride leads to destruction and arrogance to downfall. The Bible is full of examples of individuals who fell, who were destroyed because of their own pride. The Lexham Theological Word Book says, in the New Testament, as in the Old Testament, the concept of pride is often easier to recognize through the context than by searching for any one word. During his ministry, Jesus often confronted the pride of the religious leaders of the day, not because they were religious, but because they took solace in their religiosity rather than in God. He mentions a couple of passages. One is Luke 14, 7 to 11, and this is where Jesus noticed guests picking the places of honor at the feast. And to those who were confident in their own righteousness, Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector praying at the temple. This is in Luke 18, 9 to 14. Pride is something we may not easily identify within ourselves. This is especially true in a society like ours, which celebrates the individual's right to make their own choices. So where does pride show up? Well, I'm going to mention a couple of places. One, pride shows up in our arrogance. In our arrogance. We can tell ourselves we are positive thinkers and people who can make things happen. But under the veneer is pride. Pride. I know what I'm doing. I know what's best for me. They failed because they're fools. It won't happen to me. If you don't like it, tough. You change. I don't need to. Arrogance. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let someone else praise you, not your own mouth, an outsider, and not your own lips." And Proverbs 26, 12, "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." And then a warning here in Proverbs 30, 11 and 12. "Some people curse their fathers and do not thank their mother. They are pure in their own eyes, but they are filthy and unwashed." That's reality. There's arrogance. One place where pride shows up, another place pride shows up is in our stubbornness. Stubbornness to admit you need help, stubbornness to ask for help, and stubbornness to listen to wise advice is pride. Pride. I want to do it or fix it myself. Stop trying to help me. We can, in our pride, become too stubborn to ask for help or to listen to advice. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Wisdom is found in those who take advice. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 tells us, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Proverbs 13, verse 11, "Children with good sense accept correction from their parents, but stubborn children ignore it completely." And Proverbs 28, verse 26, "Only fools would trust what they think alone, but if you live by wisdom, you will do all right." Our refusal to admit our struggles, and as Christians ask others for prayer or counsel or help, hinders us as individual Christians and the body of Christ. I'm not sure how many times as a pastor, I've been asked, or you have a couple come for counseling, but it's almost too late. It's the last straw. There are times when one of the spouses wants both of them to seek help for their marriage. One refuses and then wonders why the other one just walks away, gives up. They've been trying to get their attention, but there's a stubbornness. A stubbornness. Sometimes we're too proud to ask for help, to ask for prayer, because we don't want other people to think we're weak. We don't want other people to think we can't do it by ourselves. The truth is, if someone thinks that, they're wrong. None of us can live the Christian life on our own. That's why the Lord placed us together in a body. Now, there are times where it's not appropriate to stand up and make a public confession. That's not what I'm calling for. I'm calling for a willingness to meet with a fellow brother, or for a woman to meet with another sister or two and say, pray for me. Pray for me. And do you have some wisdom? You have some experience. Has the Lord taught you how to deal with something like this? Pray for me, and I'm open to your help. I'm open to the Lord's wisdom. What have you learned? Now, it isn't weakness to ask for help. Rather, it is foolish to trust in yourself and not to seek wise advice. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20 through says, pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. 29:23, pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. The ultimate source of wisdom is found in the Lord God and His Word. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 reminds us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is the remedy to our pride? The Lord loves us too much to leave us struggling with our own pride. He sometimes needs to deal with our arrogant, stubborn pride using the painful reality of our own limitations. Here are some portions of Pastor Charles Swindoll's article, Pride is a Thorny Issue. I shared this with our board last year, and I'd like to read a portion of this now. Pastor Swindoll says, in my experience, the number one obstacle to finishing well in Christian life and ministry is not sexual immorality or unbridled greed. Those head-turning and heart-breaking stories may make headlines, but the real enemy to finishing well often goes undivulged and underreported. It's pride. Pride, that insidious sin of the heart, is the root of more obvious fruits: envy, boasting, unteachability, arrogance, selfish ambition, lust, and greed. I've observed that pride is a particularly acute malady for three categories of people who have a disposition towards it. Okay, so here's three categories of people who have a leaning, really need to watch for pride. He lists the highly intelligent, the greatly gifted, and the deeply religious. Genius, talent, and spirituality attract attention, laud, and applause. Pride is quick to take a bow. Yet this disease of pride can quickly turn into a condition that disfigures our character. In this mortal life, burdened by our sin nature and surrounded by temptations, no instant remedy completely cures the disease of pride. It won't be cured until these sinful bodies are replaced by glorious bodies, free from corruption. Yet God hasn't left us to suffer from the affliction of pride without treatment in this life. And then he tells a story. Each May, at the end of the academic year at Dallas Seminary, the handful of top preachers of the senior class get a turn in the pulpit at Schaefer Chapel. One year, a talented young man preached on the passage of John chapter 13, in which Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Talk about humility. It's hard to beat Jesus' example. After a compelling exposition of that simple text, the young senior class preacher leaned low into the microphone, looked across the faces of that auditorium, and asked his fellow students, do you want to have a great ministry? Or do you just want to be great? The packed chapel went silent. Nobody blinked. Although the question was directed towards the students, it hit everybody hard, from junior faculty to seminary president. I'll never forget that question. I doubt that anyone who heard it will. With that single challenge, he captured the crucial issue, greatness. Let us seek greatness, but not as the world defines it, but according to the example of Christ. A greatness achieved not by flexing worldly power, but by breaking earthly pride. For the highly intelligent, greatly gifted, and deeply religious, pride is often the major roadblock in the path to maturity. But the Lord uses painful events and chronic suffering to mold us and fashion us into the image of His Son. At times, God will make you aware of attitudes and behaviors in your own life that need to be changed. It may seem like He's crushing you, but in reality, He's curing you. It may feel like He's harming you, but He's healing you. Let's be brutally honest. It may look like He hates you, but He loves you. You may be there right now. And for the first time in your life, you may realize that there is a holy purpose in it all. He's calling you to attention and turning you away from yourself and toward His Son. If your pain has brought you to your knees, I commend you to our loving Father. That's the best place to begin the rest of your life. I invite you to call out to Him. Tell Him that your fight is over, that you willingly surrender. In utter and complete weakness, tell Him you've come to the end of your own resources. The crushing in this crucible has made you aware of your desperate need for hope, a hope that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell Him this. Say it aloud. Your grace is enough for me. Amen. Words of wisdom from Pastor Swindoll. Pride is so addictive because initially it feels good and it feeds our egos. But pride is so destructive and opposed to all that is truly good. Proverbs 11:2 says, "Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." In humility, submit your way to the Lord, trusting Him to do in and through you what will bring Him glory and honor rather than seeking it for yourself. Let's close in prayer for benediction. God did not say it would be easy to bring the good news to all people, but God did say that He would be with you. So go now in peace, walking humbly with God. Bring the good news of hope to all people. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord bless you. Walk humbly in His strength today. Goodbye.